Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. It may be a little gloomy and dreary out and not much sunshine, but how about being the sunshine in the church by standing up and welcoming your neighbors and passing the peace of God to your neighbors across the island next to you? I do hate to interrupt your visitation, but if you would please, let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing a hymn of preparation, which is on the inside top page of your bulletin. There are several announcements that I would like to call to your attention. The first one is on the very first page of the newsletter that you got last. You didn't get a newsletter this last week, but the week before you got one, because we're alternating weeks during the summer of the publication of the newsletter. On the very front page of the newsletter and on the back of your bulletin, if you look on the back page of your bulletin, is an announcement and discussion of Worship Through the Arts that Main Street will be sponsoring. And they will be going across the street to our neighbors with the Presbyterians, but there is a form on the newsletter, if you look it up in the house or you get it off the web page, that you can fill out to register your child for worshiping and through the arts. That is the 18th through the 21st. That's not listed on in your bulletin, so you might want to take off one of the pencils in the pew and write that's the 18th through the 21st, if you had not already noticed that. There are two other activities that are listed on the back of your bulletin for the children of the church and summer activities, the summer movie and the Children's Day in Greenville. I want to call that to your attention if you have folks at your house, some of the little people at your house could participate in these activities. I would also like to point out that there is a notice in this Newsweek, and there will be more information in the Newsweek that will be published, the newsletter that will be published this next week, about the rummage sale. We are gearing up for the rummage sale. Everyone in their Sunday school classes today got to see the clipboard that has a sign-up sheet for baked goods. Betty Staples and I will be running that, and baked goods sell. So do jars of pickles and preserves. So I don't need a pot of spaghetti unless you want to bring it to my house, but anything else in the way of baked goods or cookies or preserves that you put up sell, and they sell well. We're asking that you have it for us on the Friday afternoon before the 29th, before we have the sale on the 30th, because people come in the door, they will go straight to the bake sale and pay for and put their name on a cake or a pie or a batch of cookies or brownies or whatever, and then they go and shop and pick up stuff. So we need it early, and that can be a very helpful source of income. So don't forget us and start planning your specialties. I would love to have someone want to pay another $100 for that chocolate cake that is so famous. I have to talk to Barbara to see if we can at least get her, maybe make one and cut it in halves or quarters. That is also a reminder about the newsletter coming out this next week. You need to get everything into Emmy by Monday morning, because it's going to be a crunch to get everything in. I also want to remind you of the missions farmer's market that you'll find on the table outside the fellowship hall. And I checked the last time I saw there were tomatoes, some green beans, and a pepper, and some cucumbers. So I don't know what's out there now, because people hit that right when they come in for Sunday school, so I don't know what's left. But there are some things that are coming in from our community garden as well as other folks' gardens. So if you want good, fresh produce and help our food bank, Missions Farmers Market is a very good way to do that too. Now, if you will continue to focus on the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep your minds focused as the acolyte enters with the light of Christ.
Will you please stand as you're able for the call to worship? God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Open yourselves this day to receive the word. Minds set on the flesh are hostile to God. Let us therefore open ourselves to the Spirit. The Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. That Spirit dwells in you and offers you new life.
more with me now in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. All-powerful God, we celebrate the freedom you give us to make our own responses to all the possibilities you lay out before us. We are grateful for the revelation you provide through the witness of many in the Scriptures. Through their word, help us to discern your word. Come to us in the midst of our diversity to bring understanding and mutual caring. Open us to a new appreciation of the birthright as your children, beyond all the clamor of the things of this world. We long for the richness of spirit you alone can provide. Feed us here, we pray. Amen. And join together in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today from the Common English Bible, a Bible created by the churches for the churches. The United Methodist Church served as one of 22 faith sponsors who published this fresh translation to touch the heart and mind. The epistle reading is Romans 8, 1 through 11, and is referring to being set free by the Spirit. So now there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. God has done what was impossible for the law, since it was weak because of selfishness. God condemned sin in the body by sending his own Son to deal with sin in the same body as humans, who are controlled by sin. He did this so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, the way we live is based on the Spirit, not based on selfishness. People whose lives are based on selfishness think about selfish things, but people whose lives are based on the Spirit think about things that are related to the Spirit. The attitude that comes from selfishness leads to death, but the attitude that comes from the Spirit leads to life and peace. So the attitude that comes from selfishness is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law because it can't. People who are self-centered aren't able to please God. But you aren't self-centered. Instead, you are in the Spirit, if in fact God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Him. If Christ is in you, the Spirit is your life because of God's righteousness. But the body is dead because of sin. If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your human bodies also through his spirit that lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down, come on, sisters. Down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down. Come on down, come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh,
being that they were singing about praying, let's go to prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, as we come before you this day, thanking you for the various ways and times that you call us to the reality of prayer. We thank you, dear God, for that which works inside of us when we communicate with you. And for those prayers that move on behalf of others when we pray for our brother and for our sisters and for our family. And always reminded that you called us as well to pray for those who are enemies, who despitefully use us. So, dear God, we come to you in prayer for all of those issues in life, celebratory or needs, for ourselves, for others, for friends and for strangers, wherever they may be in this world, whether daylight or dark, knowing that you hear us. Holy God, we pray for our church family and those who are ill and those who are away from home, whether on vacation or on business, for those serving our country here in our own hometown or in a faraway place, and for those who are preaching the gospel of Christ. Bless them. May they experience a bountiful harvest because of their faithfulness to you. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with a morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come? Here, O Lord, is our offering. Here, O Lord, is what we have given to you. Take this. Use it for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, that your kingdom may be uplifted and go throughout all this world. Bless giver and gift from those who chose not to give this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children to come forward for the children's message, and as they do, I will remind them to bring their pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. You'll notice in the bulletin that the children are collecting to purchase a sheep from Heifer Project International. In subsequent weeks, we'll give you a progress update as to how much of a sheep they've purchased. So we invite the children to come forward at this time.
We've got special boxes up here that you can place your offering for Heifer International in. We welcome any adults as well that have offering to buy our sheep. Oh, we got lots. Great. Thank you guys so much. Our Bible verse this morning is kind of like the sheep in the way that we're planting a seed for the poor. We're going to give them a sheep instead of just giving them some food so that they can use that sheep on an ongoing basis to help suit their needs. So that seed is ongoing. That sheep is keeps on giving. Wow. All right, thanks, guys. It's taking a little while. That's a good thing. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and get started while you guys put your offering in. In the book of Matthew, come on, that's Vince. In the book of Matthew, you know how Jesus likes to tell stories to get his point across? Because sometimes we need some examples to explain what he means sometimes. So he was telling this story, and it's about seeds. Now, not farming seeds per se, but seeds like the seed of his love. And so he uses seeds to explain to us how we can best grow those seeds. So if you have a handful of seeds, right, and you throw them on the sidewalk or on a path, do you think they're going to grow very good? What could happen to them? They can get stepped on. The birds could eat them. The rain could wash them away. Well, that's kind of what he's saying when we receive the Word of God and we don't really understand it, but we don't try to understand it. We just kind of put our feelings on the path. We kind of discard his love seed. So if we took seeds and we threw them on the rocks or pebbles, do you think they would grow? They might would grow a little bit. They would start to grow, especially if they had some water. But you know what? Would they last? No, they wouldn't last because they would start to root, but then they wouldn't have anything to hold on to. They wouldn't have any nourishment or anything for those roots to hold on to, so they would die. And that's kind of like the seed he gives us if he throws it to us and we thrive. We're excited. I love Jesus. But then we just kind of let it die down. We're not as excited. We just kind of let it go. That seed is almost wasted. So if we take seeds and we throw it amongst a bunch of weeds, will it grow? Yeah, it'll grow because obviously the weeds have nourishment where they are. But the thing is, I don't know if you've heard your mom or dad say, those weeds are outgrowing my flowers or my tomato plants. Yeah, weeds grow really fast. They'll eat them. And so what happens with the seed of God's love when he throws it to us and it lands in weed, we let the world, the worries and other things bog us down, and we put Jesus aside thinking we can solve our problems ourselves. Our seeds get choked down, just like the weeds. Now, what if we put our seeds, Spence, what if we put our seeds in some really great soil? Would they grow? Not only would they grow, would they do really great? Would they produce fruit or flowers? Yes, yes. Just like God's seed, like you being here and all these wonderful people out there, they're trying to make us, you guys, soil. We're trying to make you the best you can be for the seed that God gives you so that your seed can flourish. It can be the best it can be. And that way, when you grow flowers or fruit, your seeds, you can give seeds to other people. You can spread the word of God with your seed. You know, my dad grows. He's a farmer, and he grows the best tomatoes ever. No offense to anybody. But he works on that dirt. He works on that soil, and he makes it so good. You know what? His tomato plants grow up into the trees. I have climbed a ladder to pick a tomato. But it's because he works so hard on that to make that soil good. And so you guys be welcoming of what you learn here, because you're going to take that and you're going to flourish and you're going to be wonderful at spreading God's word. Okay? Let's say a prayer. Dear God, Help us to grow the best flowers and the best fruit of your love so we can spread seeds to other people. We love you. Amen.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the first verse of the 13th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly. And since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. And then go into the 18th verse. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears a word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the earth. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when troubles or persecutions arise on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, that is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. How many of you here today are gentlemen farmers? I see a couple of hands. How many of you are sons of gentlemen farmers? Daughters. Sons and daughters of... How many of you are grandsons or daughters? And so the reality is that we are moving further and further away from the soil. And we're moving in other directions as a society. And so the reality is that I can preach anything I want to about this sermon. Most of you wouldn't know the difference. But it is an interesting passage as we talk about this whole understanding of seeds, of how they grow as they take root, what causes them to produce in some places and not in others. And most of us are keenly aware of the power that roots have when they can grow in the cracks and crevices around our home or in sidewalks or on roads, and what they can do as if they are left alone and are just allowed to grow without any attention. As I read this passage of Scripture, I'm aware again that Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God and how it has grown and took root. And if we think about those 11 disciples, now Judas was gone, and what happened after Christ gave this parable, and here we are today. In this one location, a representation of the Word of God as it went forth into our world from this small town in Jerusalem, there in the small country of Israel. And here we are today, and they say that 80% of all Americans are people that believe in God. We think about the individuals that we have known in our life and think about the impact the gospel of Christ has had on lives. This morning at breakfast, an individual was coming to me and he was talking to me about his faith and how it had touched his life. We understand that sometimes there are those things that can get in the way of a productive garden. There are things that can get in the way of seeds that grow. I've shared with you many times some of the enjoyment that I had in working as a young person with my grandmother in the garden. Her garden was beautiful, but her front yard most of the time was red South Carolina mud and dirt, hard red mud in the dry summers and dog days of summer. And I asked her one day, I said, "Grandmother, why is it that your flower beds are so beautiful and your yard is so barren?" And she said that out under the soil, there was a huge rock. And she says, no matter what I plant, she said, it'll grow for a while. But she says, it takes a lot of work to keep it growing because it has no depth. And it's true, even as I go past her place today and I see that yard and all around are woods and things that are growing, but out there, it's bleak. And Jesus uses this passage of, uses this story and in this passage of Scripture to speak to us about soil and our soul and how we treat the gospel. Hosea speaks to us about people who allow their soil to become what we call fallow, the soil of their soul to become hard. I can remember those times when plowing a tiller and all of a sudden you'd hit a spot maybe where you hadn't been working in the past as you go out and the tiller would literally begin to bounce completely off the ground. And I discovered that was soil that had not been plowed in a long time, maybe in a year or so, and it had allowed to get hard. And so Hosea speaks to us about allowing God to work in our souls. There are those things sometimes that can cause us to allow our souls to become hardened. There are things that we can experience in life that begin to steal the joy of our experience with God. Sometimes the weight of being a pastor gets in the way of the joy of being a shepherd. And sometimes it's the weight of pastoring a church or being on a board or a committee can get in the way. We have to be reminded that we're the body of Christ. We have to be reminded that we are the ones that are nurtured by the Spirit. We're the ones that are nurtured by our communication with God. And as we labor together as a church, we need to be smart. Smart in the way that we choose to do missions. Smart in the way that we task ourselves. A story was told about a young man who was working in the produce section of the store. And a lady came to him and said, "I would like to purchase a half a head of lettuce." He said, "Ma'am, we don't sell lettuce by the half head." "Well," she said, "that's what I want, and I want to buy a half a head of lettuce." Well, as any smart young man or woman would do, say, "Let me go talk to the manager." So he's on his way to the manager, not knowing that this little lady was following along close behind him. He gets to the manager and he says, "Some stupid woman wants to buy a half a head of lettuce." And he turned around and he saw the lady standing behind him. And he said, "And this nice lady wants to buy the other half." The store manager was captivated by the savviness of this young man and said, "Son, where are you from?" "Toronto, Canada, sir." "Toronto? Yeah. A place where you only have hockey players and ugly women." And the manager looked at him and said, "Well, my wife is from Toronto." He said, "What team does she play for?" Sometimes the opportunities come to us to be smart, to be savvy, not to be ho-hum in our attitude toward the church, not to be ho-hum in our relationship with God. I remember at Bible school after Christmas, we were called to a week of prayer. And every time I have moments to be saturated in prayer, my mind goes back to those times. Those times when you put away the cares of the world and you push aside those things that clamor for your attention. And you allow God's presence to work inside of you and to break up the fallow ground. It's something that we as a church need to be reminded of again and again. That our relationship, that our existence, is because the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ took place. It took place, hopefully, in all of our hearts here this morning. But it took place, it took root somewhere in our history. Maybe it was your mother or your dad or your aunt, your grandmother, that began to tell you the story of Jesus. That began to tell you of His love and of His care. And that seed germinated in your soul. And today, here you are, all these years later, being a recipient of the harvest of that seed. The question is, are you sharing that seed? The question is, are you telling that story? You see, in Israel's day, my understanding, you just took a basket of seeds and you scattered them all around. Sometimes it was on a pathway. Sometimes it was around thorns and briars and bristles. Sometimes it fell on good soil, as the Bible alludes to here in this passage. And then after all that, you would then go and plow. Turn dirt over on top of the seeds. Produce about a tenth, they say, of what you sowed. Sow one bushel, where you 10 times would be, you would get 10 bushels from one bushel of seeds. It wasn't very productive. But Jesus said there are some opportunities here where things will be in an ideal circumstance and the seeds will produce 100-fold. And that was astronomical. For something to produce 100-fold. And so we know today in our world that there are a lot of things that clamor for our attention. This past week I was in a training course down in Columbia this past weekend, and we had pagers and we had cell phones and we had all these emails and they were all going back and forward. And I thought about all those things. Clamors for our attention. I've even been in the pulpit and received a telephone call from one of my kids when I forgot to turn off the cell phone. It seems as though with all the things around us that we would be more connected than ever before. But you know, they say that's the very opposite. They said that the rampage of loneliness that is hitting our country is epidemic. Dating services have doubled in size over the last several years. 3,000 agencies nationwide trying to help people to connect. Self-help groups are everywhere. Self-help books. One minister wrote, and he said, "Remember newspapers without personal ads?" He said, "It wasn't that long ago." He said they could only be found in New York Times or some other section, but said today they are in every paper, adding hundreds of millions of dollars a year to newspaper coffers and keeping many newspapers afloat that would otherwise go bankrupt. But it said the greatest indication of our misconnections may be what is happening in bowling. More Americans are bowling than ever before. But bowling in organized leagues has plummeted. According to Harvard political science professor Robert D. Putnam, between 1980 and the late 1990s, the total numbers of bowlers in the United States increased by 10%, said league bowling decreased by 40%. When we look at this passage of Scripture and we think about that Christ not only calls us to be seeds growing, but Christ also calls us as a church to be in relationship. Relationship with each other. Reaching out to our world. And as we live in relationship, we also live with the reality. The reality of what's happening in the world. The reality of how we can reach out to others and choose to be smart in our endeavors to be the church. A young man walked into a photography studio with a framed picture of his girlfriend. He wanted the picture to be duplicated. And this involved removing it from the frame. And so in doing so, the studio owner noticed what was written on the back. It's like what most of you did, wrote, you know, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I'm yours for eternity. Y'all remember when you wrote that on the back of a picture to your girlfriend, right? Boyfriend, whatever. It was signed, your sweetheart, Helen, with a P.S. If we ever break up, I want this picture back. The question is, was Helen in this story really committed in the relationship? And that's a question we can ask ourselves about being the church, about sharing the seeds of the gospel of Christ. Are we committed in this relationship? If so, spread the seeds. Amen. Closing hymn is an insert in your bulletin. Let us stand together. Benediction is a responsive benediction. Sisters and brothers, we are not dismissed. We are not just free to go. Christ sends us. Go home. Make welcome the stranger in your midst. Go work. Create spaces of justice and mercy. Go learn. Sharpen the talents God has given you. Go play. Rejoice in the wonder of God's creation. Go in the power of the Spirit to love and serve the Lord. Go to help and heal in all that you do.